singing so early in the morning? And for some, that's BC. That's before coffee. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord could do for us what we think coffee does for us? You know, the government's always giving you something to worry about. I got to get this off my chest. What is this? I come down from Alaska to read a sign all over your city that says, bridge may ice. What? Then, now, why don't you put another sign that says, this bridge may fall during an earthquake? What are the chances at 80 degrees weather? Open your Bibles to Matthew 15. I, too, am walking in the overflow of last night. Wow. Wow. I really never thought about those four events in Moses' life and the fact that who sent that. That's the main thing, is who sent you. That's powerful. And then when I saw Brother Logan embrace cleaving to the Lord, my. I'll never forget that picture. And my folks in Fairbanks are going to see that. But we're going to invite Brother Logan to come to Fairbanks in order for that to happen. Matthew chapter 15, please, if you would, not an unfamiliar passage to you. You know, you're saved by faith. You know that. You understand that. But we're also to live by faith. The just, three times in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. Now, what if we defined our terms? Faith is seeing what God intends to do and then acting in harmony with him. I think I'll say that 44 times. Faith is seeing what God intends to do and then acting in harmony with him. In Hebrews 11, God told Noah to build the ark, told him why to build it, how to build it, what to build it out of. But the Bible says when he built it by faith. He saw what God intended to do, and he cooperated with God in the building of the... And aren't you glad? We wouldn't be here. If he didn't have an ark, we would... Well, we'd be here, but he wouldn't be our papa. That's just the way it works, you know. Faith is something that you have to exercise like a muscle. The Bible says, what do I know about that? But just take that by faith. Exercise yourself unto godliness. And you know, the word that God gave to, by the way, was translated as, you get nervous when the preacher says that, don't you? Was translated as exercise. Is the word, it's the same word for gymnasium. What do I know about that? Is that what you're saying? You go to a gymnasium, you kind of start off slow, but you do the same things over and over again, you get stronger and stronger and stronger. First act of faith is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I don't know about you, but I probably do know about you. I was raised in church. Now, it was a Presbyterian church. I memorized the Bible. I learned a lot of things about God, but if I'd have died, I'd have gone to hell. Because nobody confronted me. No doubt the Lord didn't. I remember sitting in church at that Presbyterian church and weeping when I heard sermons about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. But drops of grief could ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Weeping and feeling sorry for what people did to Jesus is not the issue, is seeing that he did it for me. Amen. Otherwise, I was going to hell. So I believed in him, but I wasn't saved. And the devil believes and he trembles. So you can believe really seriously about things and still not be saved. But when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you believe on him, you're trusting in him and, of course, in him alone. Because if you add anything to him, you cancel out grace. So it has to be by faith. But that's the beginning. That's just the beginning. It's like tithing. That's just the beginning. That's kindergarten. That's baby stuff. As soon as you get saved, 10% of all your increase is not even yours. You don't give it, you bring it, because it belongs to God. We had a bus ministry. You haven't lived until you get a bus ministry at 40 below zero. I mean, you just haven't lived. You just, it's exciting. Now, I don't have a bus route. We have an 8:30 service, so I'm there nice and warm, and all these young people, and my son's in charge of that ministry, and they go out in that cold, cold weather and pick up kids. It's amazing. You know, the tires in Alaska are flat on one side. Are you aware of this? The cold weather, that heavy vehicle, one side of that tire flattens out. So when you start going, it's just until it gets It's just an exciting place to live. And, but every now and then, you know, you get someone who says, I don't think I want to put my money in the bus ministry. I said, I hate to shock you, but it's not your money. The tithe is the Lord's. Not your money. You bring it to the house of God. And God says, I want my house taken care of. A part of that's bringing people to the house. You know what I mean? I mean, I love to preach, but it wouldn't be very good if there's no people here to hear it. My family needs it, but I need more than the family. They don't listen anyway. Look at Matthew 15, please, if you would, and start with me at verse 21. Matthew 15. Oh, we better stand. I don't want to embarrass you. Can you stand at this early in the morning? Can you stand preaching? I'll be standing preaching. Matthew 15 and verse 21. God, thank you for a Bible. Thank you for a preserved Bible, for a powerful Bible, for a perfect Bible. And Jesus, verse 21, went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her, and not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Long before she talked to you, Jesus, she's been bugging us about her daughter. When you get rid of this woman. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet, it's not fit or proper, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, that's true. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, Father, we want to be people of faith, of great faith. And Lord, you teach us this morning from your word, from your ways, how you measure that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. You know, some things in life are hard to measure. Distances are hard to measure. I've got a good man in my church that paid a great big fine because he killed a bear too close to the road. Now, to me, you can't kill a bear too close to the road. You know what I mean? They're dangerous animals. But you got to be so far from the road in order to do these things. And he measured it out. But distances are hard to figure. The size of a crowd is hard to figure. You don't believe that? Just listen to what the newspaper says about when a conservative crowd or a Christian crowd gets together. They have a hard time measuring how many people are there. But the other thing that's hard to measure is faith. Now, I want you to put this in your heart for just a minute. Faith is measured by the obstacles it has to overcome. Faith is measured by the obstacles it has to overcome. Now, just a cursory reading of this passage, this woman had to overcome a lot of stuff. Let me just talk to you about a few things she had to overcome. First of all, was her background. Do you see where she's from? She's from Canaan. And she's going to talk to what she thinks is a Jewish rabbi. She calls him Lord. The Jews were commanded to eliminate the Canaanites. That's her history. No doubt she had, maybe she had distant relatives that were in fact killed by the Israelites. So she's crossed over the border, sort of like a Jewish person going to Hitler looking for help. This is a tough thing to do. And so her background is against her. Now some of you know, some people, when God calls them to the mission field, their background is against them. Let me say this to you, class. Everybody has a past. I'm not justifying anything. I'm simply saying everybody has a past. Peter denied the Lord. Hello? You know, the important is, has there been repentance, and where are you now? Don't let your past keep you from doing the will of God. Hello? And that, now that past, now listen, I'm just going to be real with you here. That past may have been last week, you know, when you lost your temper. The Bible says, go not with an angry man. Now, you need to get that, you need to get that thing taken care of by the Spirit of God. There's no doubt about that. But don't let your past run your life. Let the Savior run your life. And I don't have time to take this elite crowd to the Bible to show you how many people who had a past, but God used them. You know what I mean? And thank God. You know, there are no perfect people. So God only uses imperfect people. That's all he's got to work with. When that preacher was talking about superfluous, I appreciated that so much. I lost my watch. I'm in a hotel room, one room. And I came Sunday morning and lost my watch. Now, no crowd, I don't care how spiritual you are, no crowd wants to hear that the preacher lost his wife. You don't want to hear that either. Lost his watch before a week of meetings. And so, but so I did, many of you prayed, Lord, please help him to find his watch. Lord, help. Sunday night was a long night. Lord, help him to find his watch. Well, God answered your prayer. And I was too embarrassed to tell you where I found it. I was too embarrassed. It was on my arm. I have a grandson in the NIC unit. Down in Anchorage, he was born premature. You know where they got the ICU name from, you know? It's from that gown that they give you. And so you have to scrub, you have to wash, you know, you have to take all your jewelry off, and your only jewelry that a man wears is a watch, and maybe in a ring, hopefully it's a, anyway, so I'm scrubbing and scrubbing up. Well, for some reason, early Sunday morning, perhaps I was cleaning around the, you know, even though my wife's not with me, I clean up the place before the maid comes in, and I don't want her to think that I'm a slob, so I'm scrubbing, but I moved my watch up here so I wouldn't get it wet, and there it stayed. Not outside up my shirt, up. And my wife said, didn't you feel it? And I said, honey, if I'd have felt it, I'd have known where it was. So I'm getting ready for bed Sunday night after church, and God answered your prayer. Well, there's the watch right there on the arm. I'm glad that God, you know, God commands me. My job is to humble myself, but sometimes he says, Doug, you're not going to do it. I'll do it for you. And he knows, he just knows how to do that so very, very well. If the just is supposed to live by faith, let me ask, this is the question that I need to ask you because I ask myself. What are you doing today by faith? Are you going to give by faith? In the offering, are you going to give by faith, or are you going to give by your budget? Am I going to give by my budget, or am I going to give by faith? Trust the God of supply to be the God of resupply, like he said he would? Like he said he would. Am I going to trust God to do that? When you give out a tract, when you witness, you can do that by faith. I'm doing this by faith. With all these great preachers here, I'm doing this by faith. Confidence in the Word of God and the Spirit of God to do a work. God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. Hello. I just ask yourself, if I'm gonna live by faith, I'm supposed to live by faith. I want to live by faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And can I shock you with this? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14. So if we're not doing it, trusting in the God of glory. Some obstacles are outside of us. Some obstacles are inside of us. Usually in between our ears. What we think. You know, oh, God couldn't use me. Oh, really? It seemed to me like he used a donkey one time. Hello? Surely you qualify. Hello? Hello? Yeah, sure. Yeah. You know, God can use whatever he wants to use. The important thing is, who has sent you? The God that sent you. the I am. Maybe your Bible college, I'm talking about your background. Maybe your Bible college is against you. Or maybe your camp. You know, one of the things I enjoy, preacher, there's no camp here. You know what I mean? You got to be so careful some places you go as to what camp they're in. You know, don't mention certain names, you know, or a coldness just comes over the crowd because they're not in our camp. And now listen, you have to be careful who you run with. There was a radio program on in Fairbanks. It was called Cops Corner. It was a national program. I hope I never forget this. I hope I never forget this. He was assigned undercover to a narcotics sting operation. He had to infiltrate the crowd, get to know them. This took 2 years, and arranged the sting. He was telling his own story. He said, I had to learn their language. I had to learn to dress like them. I had to learn to think like them. And in those 2 years, I got into the inner circle. You know, here's what he said. These are drug dealers. You know what he said? I found out that those people love their family just like I love my family. I was invited to their birthday parties. I knew their children by their first names. They were nice people. They were drug dealers. But they were nice people. He said, when I arranged, he's not a Christian man. He said, when I arranged the sting operation, I really was fighting with myself because I felt like I was betraying some of my best friends. This is what happens. When you allow yourself, we're supposed to love one another. All right? You're supposed to love one another. But you don't have to run with everybody that you love. When you start running with the wrong crowd, if you aren't careful, because, you know, there are some nice guys out there that don't believe the Bible. They really are nice people. And by the way, may I say this to you? Just because they're weak in an area does not make them wicked. They may be weak. They don't understand the Bible issue. There are colleges. They don't understand the Bible issue. That does not make them wicked. It makes them weak. Now, somebody needs to teach them. But teaching is different than running with them. When you run with them, you're going to become like the people you spend your time with. They that walk with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools, you don't become a fool. The companion of fools will be destroyed. So, I don't know, you know, maybe you came from a bad camp. You know, hey, I want you to know something. You're welcome. If you're teachable, you're welcome here. And you're welcome to serve the Lord. Don't hold a person's past against them. We've all failed. One of the songs we sing in the hymn book, I've grieved him by 1,000 falls. And we have. Two problems that we have in our fundamentalist movement, if I even in a position to even say, they're pride and self-righteousness. We're full of pride. I've got a book in my library that said, I'm proud to be a fundamentalist. Now, let me say something to you. I may not get to the sermon, but I'm going to say these things. This is all a product of ADDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDD doctor of divinity, and my name is Douglas Duffett. It's D, 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 D. Only reason I got it was because it all rhymed. I just thought that'd be nice to have it. D, 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 D. Sounds like a song. D, 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 D. You cannot use the word pride. If you're going to be a Bible believer, you cannot use the word pride in a good way. God resists the proud. He's at battle against the proud. And yet it's rampant in our circles. I'm proud. Now, I've raised 6 children by the grace of God. I've never one time said to my kids, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Because God hates pride. He hates pride. I've said many times, I'm pleased with you. Isn't that what God said to his son? This is my beloved son. I love him in whom I am well pleased. You can tell your children how pleased you are, but I'm not being legalistic. I'm just telling what the Bible says. You can't use the word pride in a good way. The other is self-righteousness. You know, we think we're pretty good because we got the right Bible. And we got the right music. And I commend whoever's in charge of all this music. My heart is stirred just hearing the hymns. I laugh what the preacher said about preaching the same sermon. You know, how many of you buy a CD and listen to it one time and go, that was good, throw it away too? The song leader turns to a hymn. Oh, I've already sung that hymn once 2 years ago, but I'm not going to sing that. You know, you only remember 10% of what you hear. So now my uneducated conclusion is you have to hear each sermon 10 times before you get it. Anyway, just for whatever that's worth, if God leads you to preach the same sermon, I'm all for it. And maybe you'll be awake this time. Everybody has a past. Everybody got a Bible college that they went to. I'm not proud of my Bible college. I when somebody said, "Where'd you go to college?" I kind of just cringe, you know. I don't want to tell them. You know, many missionary displays, they don't mention their Bible college. You know why? Because in some churches, not this church, some churches are looking for reasons not to support a missionary. I have an answering service on my phone at the office, and it says, hi, this is Doug Duffett. I forget what it says now. It's been so many years. But I know it says this: leave your number, and I might call you back. Because some people, I'm not going to call them. I'm not going to say, I'll call you back when I get a chance. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to call that salesman back. I'm not going to call that angry person back. I'm just not going to do it. So I'm not going to lie. So, and then I had some big-name evangelist got offended at that. Well, that told me right then we weren't going to have him in. Because if you're offended at that, you're in for a world of hurt at our church. You're going to be offended. But it's our pride and self. How dare you? I don't deserve to be treated this way. No, you deserve to be in hell. That's what we deserve. Self-righteous. I've got the right music. I got the right Bible. I got the right dress code. I'm so right. And God says, all of your righteousness is filthy rags. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I'm just saying that this lady, this woman had, her background was against her. It was just working against her because she was a Canaanite. But that didn't stop her. Now listen, class, if I don't say this again, I better say it right now. Listen, the issue was too important for her to give up. It was her daughter. And we better have a purpose. We just like the preacher said last night, we better get a purpose that's a lot higher than us and keep our eye focused upon that purpose. You know, sometimes a person's background of high moral living hinders them from getting saved. I was talking last night with Brother Donald. I talked to Brother Donald last night. You know, I don't smoke. I don't drink. I must be pretty good. But you're not pretty good. You may be pretty good compared to the next door neighbor, but not to the God of heaven, not to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our flesh. In the flesh, it's impossible to please the Lord. You know that. But it's interesting how God defines our flesh. We think if you get in the flesh is when you get angry and you cuss and you commit immorality, you're in the flesh. But that is true, but that's not where God defines flesh. The Apostle Paul did in Philippians. You know what flesh is? Flesh is all the ways that you and I learn to get our needs met apart from God, without God. Paul said, he said, if anybody has reason to glory in the flesh, I do. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Tribe of Benjamin, concerning the law, blameless. Those are all good things, but he was doing all those good things apart from God. Some people learn to whine to get your own way. Now, parents, control your children. When your kids whine to get their own way, and you give them what they want after they whine, you have taught them how to get their way. Now, the reason why you want to correct it while they're early, because someday they're going to be church members. And pastors don't need to hear, we preach against wine at our church. People that wine. The Bible says, let everything be done without murmuring and without disputing. That means no complaining and no arguing. Just do it. And by the way, remember, the people of Israel murmured when they had no water. That's a big issue. If you don't have any water, you're going to die. You say, can we complain about that? Murmuring is taking your problem to somebody who does not have the power to change it. No power to correct it. So when you talk to somebody else in the church, instead of going to your pastor, that's called murmuring. Oh, well, we'll just move right along. I want to hear the next preacher just like you want to hear the next preacher. See, I know the last point of this sermon. And I can't wait to get there. And you feel the same way for a different reason. I can't wait to get there, but I'm going to work my way there. Her background was against her in verse 22, but that's not all. Listen, the brethren were against her. The assistant pastors. Get rid of this woman. Get rid of her. She's bugging us. She's bothering us. We've all had assistant pastors like that, you know. Get rid of this woman. She's troubling us. You know, sometimes missionaries, we're trying to help missionaries. You go to a church, people are going to hurt you. Just mark it down. We're called to hurt. You know that we're called to be hurt? We're called to suffer, just like Jesus suffered. I just think it would change our Christian lives if we would all just accept that as a normal part of the Christian life. It's suffering. When somebody hurts me, one of the first things I do, first of all, the Bible thing is that thank God for everything. Thank him for it. But then number two, just talk to yourself, ask yourself, did anything like this happen to Jesus when he was here? And then I ask myself, have I done anything to the Lord like this? How this must have grieved and hurt him when I did it. You know, it's not hard for you to forgive somebody then when you realize how wicked you have been yourself. Hello, class. Yeah, hello. And we're going to hurt, you know, we're going to hurt people. I met a couple of people here today, this week. You know what they said? Pastor, I called you on the phone. Oh, mamma mia. Oh, are you sure you got the right number when you called? Because of all people calling back, I do call missionaries back. And I encourage you, pastor, to do the same thing. Missionaries getting the phone, calling, call. First of all, just to find somebody who answers the phone is a blessing. But then when they do get a message machine and then nobody calls them back, that's frustrating. Hello? Don't frustrate one another. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Don't frustrate those that are serving God under the grace of God. Call them back. But you know, sometimes we can hurt people and we don't mean to do it. We just do it. They just get hurt. And so this happened to her. I mean, the brethren want to get rid of this woman because she's a problem. And by the way, you know, the ministry is problems. May I say this to missionaries too? Don't look to churches to send you to the fields. Now, churches are going to do it. But put your confidence in God. The church may not be in a position to help you right then. But you're in a position to help that church. I wish you'd do two things when you go to a church. I wish you'd challenge that church to reach the world. And I wish that you would encourage the pastor of that church. Do you know that we are inundated. That's the word I learned when I got my doctorate degree. We are inundated with discouraged pastors. That's not here. You can tell by the spirit of this place. But a lot of pastors are discouraged. Right. You know, George Barna, you know who that guy is? He takes all these polls, you know. He'd probably take some Czechoslovakian as well, but he takes polls. Kind of a racist, if you ask me, but I wish you hadn't said that, you know. But. You know, listen to this. I'm going to mention this again Sunday night. No, I'm going to mention this if I get another opportunity to preach. That 85% of pastors, listen to this, 85% of pastors, now that's all kinds of pastors, do not feel loved by God. In a private survey, not identified, do you feel like God loves you? No. Isn't that amazing? Now, wait a minute. We know he loves us, for God so loved the world. But we don't feel that love from God. Now, here's what happens. Here's the danger of that. They think that they're on a performance basis with God. If I do well, then God loves me. But any honest person knows we ain't doing well. I mean, if you know to do good and don't do it to him, it is sin. In the flesh, it's impossible to please God. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know if you know this or not, but if we called a prayer meeting here right now, in the next hour, all we did was pray, every one of us would have sinned. If you don't see that, you're missing the truth of the Bible. because anything short of Jesus Christ would be sin. And the Bible says we don't know what to pray for as we ought. Hello. So they're in a performance basis with God. And so if I'm doing well, then God loves me. If I'm not doing too hot, God's mad at me. Then he turns around and puts his people on a performance basis. If you do well, I'm going to love you. If you're faithful, if you're tithing, I'm going to love you. But if you don't, get out of the way. You're holding us back. I'm just telling you, it's a vicious cycle. It's a vicious cycle. So when you go to a church, missionaries, God bless you. Challenge the church to reach the world. And then encourage that pastor. You know, a word, we heard that word last night. A word spoken in due season. How good is it? A word spoken in due season. How good is it? Well, her background was against her. The brethren were against her. The preaching was against her. Did you hear the preaching? Jesus preaching it out. Anyway, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost nation of Israel. The lost children of Israel. You see that? Verse 24. Here's what the preacher said, Jesus the preacher. I am not sent, verse 24, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Didn't you ever feel like the preacher was saying something against you? Did you ever feel like the preacher was preaching right at you? Every now and then, says, preacher, were you preaching to me? And I said, of course. I'm not preaching to the lights. I'm not preaching to the carpet. I'm preaching to you. And I tell my people, if the shoe fits, don't walk out of here barefoot. Put it on. It was for you. I didn't intend it that way, but since it fit, it's for you. So you know, here's the preacher. Here's the dear Lord Jesus, the gracious Savior. And he spoke a truth. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But you know something? Maybe you're not like me, but maybe you are. Did you ever take a real dogmatic stand in the pulpit on something? But then when you talk to them one-on-one, you're just kind of softer. Take quit out of your dictionary. Don't even say the word quit. I hate quitters. I hate quitters. Don't come to me and tell me you're going to be quit. What a piece of trash you are. I'm not saying that. Some of you that just woke up think, what happened to Brother Duffett? But that same guy makes an appointment and comes to the office and says, preacher, here's what happened. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Now I'm still going to preach dogmatically, but don't. The Bible says, don't give heed to all the words that are spoken. You know what I mean? Because you know yourself that you said things you never should have said. How many of you served in the military? You've ever served in the military? Let me just say, Ann. Thank you. Some serve 4 years. Some serve 20 years. Thank you. Why is it that when a person serves 4 years and then gets out of the Army or out of the Air Force or the Marines or the Coast Guard, is the Coast Guard part of the military? And that was said on purpose. That was said on purpose. The largest Coast Guard station in America is in Alaska, by the way. We have so much coast up there. And why is it they serve 4 years and then get out and they're heroes? A person goes to the mission field, serves 4 years, and stops, and they're failures. Hello? Hello? Now, you can have your own position. We're independent Baptists. But I thank God they served the 4 years. And it'd be a whole lot easier for the next folks to go if they would hear us thanking people for serving those 4 years. And you know, if most of us have never been on the mission field to live there, you have no idea what they go through. I have no idea what they go through. A different culture. You know, one of our men went overseas, and before they left, somebody, one of the nationals said, can you answer a question for me? Why do you Americans blow your nose and then keep it and put it in your pocket? What do you do with that later on? You know? See, things that are very common to us. Just the thought of that makes my nose run, you know. Oh, my. And we want them all to stay forever and ever and ever. The preacher said last night, we want everybody to stay forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But isn't it strange about preachers? A preacher can go here for a while, then go here for a while, and then find their niche. If a missionary does that, we drop them. You don't know what God really wants for you. Well, I'm just saying. You know, who am I? I'm just saying. Not only was her background against her, and the brethren were against her, and the preaching was against her, but it sure looked to me like God was against her. She comes to the dear Savior. My daughter is, in verse 22, grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 23, he answered her not a word. It's like he looks at her and then ignores her, just goes about his doing. Now, what if a new person came here and came to Pastor Thompson and said, I'm thinking about joining this church. And he said, this woman has a very big issue. And he ignores her. And then he calls her a dog. Did you see that? It's not fit to give the children's food to the dogs. You'd have said, that's it. I'm out of here. And you tell everybody you knew. Did you hear what that preacher Thompson said? He called me a dog. I'm a dist. But the issue was too important for this woman. Faith is measured by the obstacles it has to overcome. I'm not giving up. And by the way, those statements were made in the context of her worship in verse 25. I don't know what that meant to her as a Canaanite, but the Bible says, led by the Spirit of God, wrote down in verse 25 that she worshiped him. When your heart's in an attitude of worship, people can say almost anything they want to say to you. That's all right, because you're focused upon the Lord. Great peace have they that love thy law. Yes, it's in the Bible. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Verse 26, it's not meet to give the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, you are right. Truth. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I'm just looking for crumbs. I'm just looking for crumbs. You know, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. When you come to church, what are you looking for? Are you looking for something for your life, for your soul, for your ministry, for your future, for your family? Are you looking for something? Even looks like God's against her. But I don't have to tell this crowd, God's not against you. If you're his child, God's for you. And he even asked this question, if God's for you, who can be against you? Sometimes I get a call, preacher, the devil's trying to tear up my church. Well, here's a stupid question. What do you think God's doing? You think God's wringing his hands in heaven? That old devil, every time I try to build a church, the devil's trying to tear it up. I wish he wouldn't do that. What kind of a God do you serve? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If God's for you, who can be against him? This lady wrote me one time. I don't have time to tell you the story, but she wrote me. She said, she's a member of our church. Her husband was not saved. The government transferred them away. And she wrote me a letter, you know, said, thank you for the ministry, what a blessing it was to be in Alaska. Please pray for our new church down here. The landlord's trying to kick us out. Would you please pray that he won't do that? We need to stay here. So I got a nice letterhead, and I typed one word, no, and signed it and mailed it to her. Then she called me. She said, are you mad at me? I said, no, what would you think that for? She said, I asked you to pray, and you said no. I said, no, I said I would not pray and ask the landlord to not kick you out. I said, that's none of my business. Maybe God wants you out. Well, I don't know, preacher. I mean, there's just no place to go. I said, well, I think God probably could find a place if he wanted to. See, we're so worried about the landlord, we forget about God. She wrote me the nicest letter. I think I still have it in my file. She wrote me the nicest letter. She said, "You won't believe what happened, preacher." I love when letters start that way. "You won't believe what happened. That landlord kicked us out." And we began to pray and cry out to God. And God brought us across this piece of property. It's larger, it's cheaper, it's more wonderful. We just thank God for what he did. So here's what happened in heaven, see? God was trying to push that pastor and that congregation out. "I got something better for you." You know what they said? "We're too comfortable here. It's so nice. It's so nice." So they wouldn't listen to God, so God spoke to the landlord. "Kick him out! Get rid of them! You get more money someplace else, kick him out!" So the landlord obeyed, you know. If God's for you, who can be against you? God, give me my support so I can go. You know what I've just learned? You'll go when it's ready, when you're ready. It's really bad when you go when you're not ready. You make a lot of I don't know that I was ready to go to Fairbanks, but they were so desperate to find somebody. Then when I got there, and it cost so much money to get me there, they just kept me. And I grew, and they grew. And we're all growing, you know what I mean? Growing in grace. Growing in grace. It just looked like even God was against her. The background was against her. Her religion was against her. I didn't go into that on time. The brethren were against her. The preaching was against her. The blessed Lord was against her. But she said, "Yeah, all right, I'm a dog, but dogs can eat the crumbs." Did you hear what Jesus said? Not close. "Oh, woman." How did he measure her faith? "Great is thy faith." I mean, the Bible talks about no faith and little faith, much. "Great is thy faith." Then you know what he said? He did. He took out his checkbook and signed it and said to her, "Woman, you can have whatever you want." What a savior. I don't think he was, you know, you and I both know, he was not against that woman. I think there was a twinkle in his eye as he was, you know, he was testing her, just like he tests us and proves us. Faith is measured by the obstacles it has to overcome. You know, we've come in fundamentalism. If it's a smooth going, it must be the will of God. God's in it. But if you got problems, you better re-examine this thing. Listen, you heard about Daniel's problems last night. Huh? Moses' problems. Accused of murder. Banished. 40 years banished. You know, he wrote the book of Deuteronomy in one day. Most of us couldn't read the book of Deuteronomy in one day. He was 120 years old. He wrote the book of Deuteronomy, penned it as God gave him the words in one day, 120 years old. How could he do that? He didn't eat any pork. That's another issue. Problems do not mean you're on the wrong path. Now, they can mean that, but don't automatically. No, hey, listen. The obstacles that you and I have to overcome measures our faith, strengthens our faith. And then, by the way, you have a testimony. I met the brother going to Ukraine. In Ukraine, just wave your hand. God bless you. A family going to Russia on deputation, leaving a church, backing their car out, ran over and killed one of their children. Heartbroken. Had the funeral. People were wondering, are you going to cancel your trip to go to, your plans to go? No, we're going to go. It's tough, but we're going to go. But you know what they found out when they got over there to Russia? Most Russians have a hard life. They have a hard life. When they told their story to the Russian people, the lost Russian people embraced them. Oh, what a difficult thing to go through. And their hearts were open then to the message that they still followed God and trusted God, even though they had a hard time. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our while we do His good will. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. I'll trust and obey. I know there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Father, we want to trust you. And I pray that you'd increase our faith and help us to follow you with your grace and give all the honor and glory to the High King of Heaven. For we know very well what we deserve. And that you would use the likes of us to take the gospel, the unsearchable riches of Christ, to those in darkness. How could we ever thank you enough? Help us to grow in that faith. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.